If you'd like to spend some time with real people with a real heart for God, we welcome you to visit us at Harvest Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Our Sunday morning services are held at 10:30, and our Family Night Fellowship takes place on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come experience God's awesome, life-changing power as we worship in His presence, fellowship with one another, commit to discipleship, and share God's love through evangelism. For more information or directions, visit harvestnova.com. That's harvestnova.com.
I want to share a few thoughts with you tonight from Matthew chapter 2. And the title of what I want to share tonight is Christmas Reflections. I want us to reflect a little bit. Now, as I say that, I realize that some of us may be thinking, reflect? When do I have time this time of the year to reflect on anything? Except how tired I am, or how much I still have yet to do, how many presents I still have to wrap. Like Chad said, you can't go out and buy them, although you can download some presents if that's the kind you're giving. But I still have, there's food, you know, and then tomorrow with family and all the activities, and then is the collapsing, right? So you're probably, when do I have time to reflect? Well, if that's you and you have no time to reflect, for the next 10 or 15 minutes, we're just going to reflect a little. How's that? We'll squeeze it in now. Some Christmas reflections from the story of the Magi. Matthew 2 says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. After having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Christmas reflections. I want to suggest to you this evening three questions to reflect upon during this Christmas celebration and indeed beyond. And I draw those here from the story of the Magi. First of all, a little background on the Magi. They're called wise men sometimes. They were astrologers. They looked at the stars. How they got the designation kings, you know, we three kings, as the song says, I don't know, but they weren't kings. They were astrologers, they were philosophers, and this story reveals some powerful, powerful truths. So three questions to reflect upon. The first one is this, the question is this: what catches my eye? What catches my eye? These magi, these wise men, saw the star that led them to the place where Jesus was, and they knew it would lead them to Jesus. Now, we're not told how they knew. We're not aware of the significance that that star had, but in some way, that star stood out from all the others, and that star caused them to go on a quest to find this child. Now, we know that God himself had that star appear to them. It was God, amen, who led them to the Christ child. But they were looking. They were looking. They were not necessarily holy or religious men, But they had an interest in the stars, and that star caught their eye. You know, depending on our personality makeup, different things in life catch our eye, don't they? You know, those commercials on television, man, they just know how to package things, don't they? I know when I see electronics, man, I perk up. You know, I pay attention. And if you think I'm bad in that way, Chad really perks up with these electronics. But whatever it might be, and now, you know, unless you have some kind of ad blocking software on your computer or on your smartphone, there are ads that are targeted right for you. You notice that? You might look at a few items in on websites, and then all the other sites you look on, there are similar type of items appear. That's targeted advertising, because they know what kind of things catch your eye. There are many things in life that can catch our eye, that can draw our attention. Many of them are worthwhile, but truth be told, how many know that many of the things, come on, we're only human, many of the things that catch our eye, that catch our attention, really aren't that worthwhile, are they? Can we just admit that? It's just us here tonight. Many of the things that catch our eye, they have no worth or no lasting value. I preached a message on Sunday and talked about the fact that God, as he sent the angel, the messenger angel Gabriel, to Mary to tell her she would bear the Messiah, the Christ. We said on Sunday that God is still in the business of sending messages. How many believe that? How many believe God is the author of targeted messages? God is the one who knows what we need to hear. God is the one who knows what needs to catch our eye. The question is, are we looking? Are we, is our attention span such that God can catch our attention, that he can draw us to things that matter, to things that are important? These wise men went on a journey. Most scholars feel it was at least a 3 to 4 month journey, leaving home, leaving everything that was familiar. That is how significant that star was. That's how important their quest became. This evening, on this Christmas Eve 2019, what catches your eye? What is of utmost importance to you? What can turn you away from the usual, the daily, the mundane? What can turn you away and grab your attention and say, hey, this is worth going on a quest for? I believe, I've preached and taught, and we've said many times from this pulpit, God has a plan and a purpose for every life. God has a purpose for your life. Can he get your attention? What catches your eye tonight? Something to reflect upon, don't you think? Something to think about. What's the second reflection, second question of reflection for Christmas? I believe it's this. It's who has my ear? What catches my eye and who has my ear? That is, who am I listening to? How many know there are all kinds of voices speaking to us? We are bombarded every day, seemingly every moment of the day, aren't we, with messages. I love getting the Christmas messages, you know, but I've gotten Facebook messages and emails and texts and Christmas stuff, and I know you have too. And we love it because it means people are thinking about us, at least most of the time, unless they're advertisers. But man, they're just coming from everywhere. And you know, that's true every season of the year, isn't it? There are always people speaking into our life, and there are always voices coming at us, and they don't all say the same thing, do they? If we let them, they'll pull us in each and every direction. These wise men came to Herod's court, said they were looking for the Christ child, and of course Herod, to use Richard's expression, he got his hair on fire. You know, he was all upset because he saw this as a threat to his kingdom. And so the wise men in Herod's court said that the Christ was to be born in Bethlehem. Excuse me. And so the wise men would proceed there. But Herod said to them, do me a favor, guys. When you find the Christ child, afterward, come back and report to me, because I want to go and worship him too. A bigger lie has never been spoken. Herod wanted to murder that child, as he did short time after that, killing all the babies in a city, thinking he was wiping out the rival to his throne. And so they went to Bethlehem to see the child. But the very last verse, skipping ahead, verse 12 in this passage says, having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route, in another direction. They had another voice speak to them in a dream, say not to go back to Herod. And they had a choice to make. Am I going to listen to the voice of the king? I mean, that's a powerful voice, isn't it? Or am I going to listen to the voice of the King of Kings, Almighty God? And they obeyed the voice of God. Not everyone that speaks into your life has your best interest at heart. Did you know that? We know that, don't we? Not everyone that purports to do you a favor and purports to be on your side is necessarily on your side or is doing you a favor. We need to have discerning hearts, discerning ears. Who has my ear? Who's speaking into your life today? Are you allowing God to use his word and his people and his methods and his means to speak into your heart, to speak to you? Or are you listening to other voices? Who has my ear? Who am I really listening to? Who do I go to for advice? I've said this many times. As a pastor, I have a master's degree with a concentration in counseling. I counsel a lot of people. And I won't say all the time, but I would say 95% of the time, many people who come to me for counseling often know what they already want to do, and they just want a rubber stamp. They want a pastor to say, yeah, go ahead and do that. And I'm sadly not always able to oblige them because I have to tell them what the Word of God says, whether they like it or not. But that's a question worth reflecting on this Christmas. Who has my ear? Who speaks to me? To whom do I listen? Something we need to reflect on. And I believe the third question of reflection for all of us this Christmas is the question, what touches my heart? What touches my heart? When the wise men came, it says, and they found the place where Christ was, first of all, it says they were overjoyed. They had found the object of their quest. Their search was over. They found the one for whom they left home and traveled all those months through hardship. And their travel, not only was it difficult travel, it was dangerous travel. It was not uncommon to be set by robbers and thieves. But they had gone through all that, and now they found the object of their quest. They found Christ. The scripture says they were overjoyed, and they worshiped him, and they presented him with gifts of gold and incense of myrrh. I don't have time tonight to delineate the significance of their gifts, but they gave the very best that they could give, and they bowed down, and they worshiped him. Their heart was touched. And you know, we live in a cynical age, don't we? Don't we? I mean, you hear somebody say something, you see an advertisement on TV, you hear especially a politician speak, right? Or you hear someone make some sort of claim, and more often than not, what's our first reaction? Yeah, right. Sure. Sure, this product is the best thing ever. It's going to revolutionize my life. And after about 5 minutes, we find out it doesn't work, right? We become cynical. And it's easy to become calloused. It's easy to see needs around us. It's easy to see people in hardship. It's easy to see a variety of situations and be completely unmoved, completely untouched by what's around us. These magi, when they came to the manger, to the place where Christ was, they didn't just kind of say, oh, so there he is. Wow, that's kind of cool. Okay, guys, let's go get something to eat. No, their hearts were in it. They were moved. And one of the biggest dangers I think we have, not only at Christmas time, but throughout the year, is the danger of developing a calloused heart. You know what a callus is on your hand, don't you? It's a place of skin that through repeated use and weathering, it becomes hard, and it loses sensation, it loses feeling. And that can happen to our hearts, not the physical organ that pumps our blood, but our emotional center. And we can become calloused and hardened and become unmoved. Can I tell you, that's a very, very dangerous place to be. Because among the other things, yes, the facts are so important of the Christmas story, that Jesus was born of a virgin, that he came and lived a sinless life, that he died upon the cross for our sins. Those are the facts. But let me tell you, more than knowing the facts, as important as they are, is the importance of being moved. That your Creator, my Creator, the one who spoke the universe into existence, came all this way and became a helpless baby so he could save you and me from our sins. If that doesn't move you, if that doesn't touch you, if that doesn't impact you in a powerful way, then my prayer for you is that God would soften your calloused heart and allow it to be melted and broken and moved by the fact that your Creator loved you so much, he became one of us and he suffered a sinner's death to pay the price for your sin and for mine. Lord, may we ever be moved by the price that was paid for us. So this evening, that's what I wanted to share with you. A few things to reflect on. I hope maybe you'll find few minutes here or there in the next few days before you're consumed again by the hustle and bustle to consider what catches your eye, what is of importance to you to notice it, who has your ear, who is it that's speaking into your heart and your life that you're paying attention to? Are you hearing the words of life? Are you hearing the words that would draw you in the opposite direction? And thirdly, what touches your heart? What moves you? My prayer for all of us is that we may have soft hearts, that God can touch our hearts once again, that we can be moved, that we can worship at the manger, and that we can express love to him who loved us enough to come and be one of us.